Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, from the fourth canto, chapter 22, entitled Prithu Maharaj's Meeting with the Kumaras, text number 14. Bhavatsu Kursala Prasna Atmarami Sunisyate Kusula Kusala Yatra Nashanti Mati Vrittaya Bhavatsu. Unto you, Kushala, good fortune. Prasna, question. Atmaramesu, one who is always engaged in spiritual bliss. Na, isyate, there is no need of. Kushala, good fortune. Akushala, inauspiciousness. Yatra, where? Na, never. Shanti, exists. Mativrittaya, mental concoction. Prithu Maharaj continued. My dear sirs, there is no need to ask about your good and bad fortune, because you're always absorbed in spiritual bliss, the mental concoction of the auspicious and inauspiciousness does not exist in you. Purport. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya 476, it is said, Dvaita Bhadra Bhadra Gyan Sabha Manodaram, E Bhala E Manda E Sabha Varam. In this material world, the auspicious and inauspicious are simply mental concoctions, because such things exist only due to association with the material world. This is called illusion or Atma Maya. We think ourselves created by material nature exactly as we think ourselves experiencing so many things in a dream. The spirit soul, however, is always transcendental. There is no question of becoming materially covered. This covering is simply something like a hallucination or a dream. In Bhagavad Gita 2.62, it is also said, Sangat Sanjayate Kama. Simply by association, we create artificial material needs. Jayatu Visayan Pumsa Sangasthi Supajayate. When we forget our real constitutional position and wish to enjoy the material resources, our material desires manifest and we associate with various varieties of material enjoyment. As soon as the concoctions of material enjoyment are there, because of our association, we create a sort of lust or eagerness to enjoy them. And when that false enjoyment does not actually make us happy, we create another illusion known as anger. And by the manifestation of anger, the illusion becomes stronger. When we are illusioned in this way, forgetfulness of our relationship with Krishna follows. And by thus losing Krishna consciousness, our real intelligence is defeated. In this way, we become entangled in this material world. In Bhagavad Gita 2.63, it is said, Krudat Bhavati Sammaha, Sammahat Smiti Vibrama, Smiti Brahmasat Pudinaso Pudinasat Pranasyati. By material association, we lose our spiritual consciousness. Consequently, there is the question of the auspicious and inauspicious. But those who are Admaram, or self-realized, have transcended such questions. The Admaramas, or self-realized persons, gradually make further progress in spiritual bliss, come to the platform of association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the perfection of life. In the beginning, the Kumaras were self-realized and personless, but gradually they became attracted to the personal pastimes of the Supreme Lord. The conclusion is that for those who are always engaged in the devotional service of the Personality of Godhead, the duality of the auspicious and inauspicious does not arise. Kriti Maharaj is therefore asking about auspiciousness, not for the sake of the Kumaras, but for his own sake. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyanandana Salakaya Chaksura Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Yena Mutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Grada Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So sometimes it is said that the soul is immovable. So the soul being immovable means that the living being is eternally situated in the same position, namely being the eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And one cannot move from that position, no matter what happens. Therefore, considering things from that perspective, nothing auspicious or inauspicious can affect us. The soul is never affected by anything in this material world. And in this way, one who is fixed in such consciousness, being aware of that eternal position, for such a person, the auspiciousness and inauspiciousness of material affairs are not at all relevant. So therefore, for such a person, every moment is auspicious. It is said that devotional service is kles agni subada moksha laguta krit. So subada means devotional service is always auspicious in all occasions. We find descriptions in, for example, the Navadvipa Mahatmya, which is saying that when you sleep in Sridhar Mayapur, that's also auspicious because it counts as much as paying obeisances. Many devotees know that statement very well and appreciate it also. Yes, it is amazing. Being part of the Sankirtan movement is also like that, because everyone in the temple is making spiritual advancement. There is no question of not making spiritual advancement. The mercy is always coming some way or other. The Sankirtan movement is of such a nature that it always purifies us. So the four Kumaras were transcendentally situated and therefore not affected. It is also said that the spiritual master is heavy. Heavy, the word guru means heavy, so it doesn't mean that he is necessarily a heavy personality who, you know, is okay, you're Maya, you know, kind of blasts everyone and comes across real heavy. But the Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that guru means heavy because he cannot be moved from his position. Nothing can move him from his position. He's fixed. He's always fixed in the absolute truth at all times. Therefore, he's heavy. There's no argument that can deviate him from that position. So this is the position that Maharaj Prithu understood the four Kumaras to be in, and therefore he approached them like that and said, you are transcendental personalities. So therefore, it's not appropriate to ask you whether everything is going well or whether things are going bad, because these are material considerations. For a transcendental personality, everything is always auspicious. Still, within devotional service itself, we make a distinction about auspicious and more auspicious. Right? There is always more auspicious also. There is no doubt that there is auspicious, more auspicious, and most auspicious. So it's not that in spiritual life we are not looking for the benedictions, for the mercy, and for the auspiciousness. Right? It may be a fact that a devotee is situated always in an auspicious position, that is nice. But we are not ourselves looking at it like that. Yes, we may appreciate that everything is auspicious, so we will not lament about the material dualities and material difficulties, although we notice them, and we may sometimes even feel that our bodies are quite affected by them, right? But ultimately we stay beyond. Just as I was in Mayapur, sitting next to a Swami who was under the influence of some germs that had grabbed him by the throat, and the entire head was suffering. And his conclusion was that in the material world, that what really sums it all up is the following statement: just suffer and be happy. Right? And that is spiritual life. I thought it was a classic, and I'll remember it for a long time to come, because, and with time maybe more, because this is it, just in the material world, just suffer and be happy. What can we say? There is no alternative. Sometimes we may experience some moments when everything is wonderful, but in the material sense, so many times something's wrong. But it has no relevance for a devotee, because a devotee is still happy knowing that he is getting the mercy of Krishna, knowing that everything is all right, everything is fine, everything is auspicious. So this is an art, this is something to realize. It's not so simple, because the conditioned nature is very strong. Just like these descriptions in this purport, that auspiciousness and inauspiciousness in this material world are simply mental concoctions. Whew, that's a strong statement, a kind of like, whoa, right? It's like some cold water in your face, kind of like, yeah, that's right. Because even devotees get under the influence of auspicious, so-called auspicious and so-called inauspicious circumstances again and again. We may not be such super devotees that we are so transcendental that we are never feeling affected by the material energy. But at least we have this Srimad Bhagavatam which anchors us, which reminds us that no, do not be affected. Actually see it like this. Understand everything. It is a mental concoction. So actually this feeling of being disturbed is simply due to some identification with this particular event. One need not identify with it, as the example is given of the dream, right? Why identify with the dream? That is obvious, right? One ought not identify with a dream. But we are. So we maybe are in the state where when you have a very, very strong dream, very intense dream, even when you wake up, it's still affecting you. You still feel like not at all peaceful yet, and it takes something. And sometimes you have a dream where the whole night you were chased, you know, and you were escaping and escaping and escaping. And when you wake up, you still feel like escaping. You still feel like, I gotta go. So this is kind of the nature of a devotee who may have theoretical knowledge, who may have heard the Srimad Bhagavatam many times, and who may know very well the eternal position of the soul, but yet still feels affected simultaneously by the material energy. So we're still half dreaming, not fully awake. That may be the case. So in this half stage, this stage where we've only partially realized the absolute truth, only philosophically understood, but not actually realized this this transcendental knowledge. This is the stage of austerity. This is the stage where one has to perform duty. This is the stage where spiritual life is not always blissful, but this is the stage where spiritual life may mean struggle. This may be that instead of experiencing the true reality of the spiritual world, where every step is a dance, every word is a song, right? We may be experiencing that spiritual life is not easy. If we feel that material, that spiritual life is difficult, if we feel like that, right, then we can take some solace in the following statement, that yes, spiritual life may be difficult, Srila Prabhupada said, but material life is impossible. Right? So that is an important statement to remember. Right? All right, it may be difficult sometimes, we will not deny, but material life is it cannot work. There is no such thing as success in the material world. Right? There is only the idea of success. Right? The idea that, yes, now I have conquered, I have conquered, I have conquered. And then it's gone again, right? You conquered what? Right? It's disappeared. With time, everything disappears from under us. A heavy competition amongst the boys for the most beautiful girl, and one is the lucky winner. But how long will she stay a beautiful girl? Right? Not forever. No, that's not the case. Nor the young boy will stay a young boy forever. Everything changes in this world. Everything is temporary. Wealth we have today, we will not have tomorrow. So any material achievement is a temporary one, and there is nothing in this material world that will actually stay with us. So in this way, the problem is that time sometimes moves very slowly, and therefore we don't see it. We don't see the effect of time, and therefore we get the impression that things are permanent in this world because time moves so slow. But with the passing of time, it becomes very obvious. Then one can really see how everything is affected by time. So, time I am, the destroyer of worlds. It is destined to be. And the destruction may sometimes be very slow or sometimes be very fast. Just like Yudhisthira Maharaj was seeing his grandfather Bhishmadev lying on the bed of arrows, and Yudhisthira Maharaj was already in a very upset state because now he was here and now his grandfather was dying and it was all his fault. And not only his grandfather was dying, 640 million people had died and it was all due to him, all due to Yudhisthira Maharaj. He felt like that because he felt, just to put me on the throne, all this has been going on. So he felt directly responsible for the death of all these people. But Bhishmadev had a different perspective and said, it is just the inevitable influence of time. All these living beings are destined to die, every one of them. And simply, it was their time. It was destiny, that was all. It had nothing to do with yourself. You, just by chance, you were the one who was supposed to be the emperor. Just by arrangement, another one was supposed to be a general. Just by arrangement, another one played the part of a soldier. Just by arrangement, another one a chariot driver. Just by some arrangement, everyone plays his part in the drama. That's all. A part assigned. Just like we're having a big drama In the whole temple, everyone has to play a part, right? It's like the Ramayan. Ramayan's coming. So in some temples, I was in one temple where the temple president just hired costumes. He arranged a whole bunch of costumes for the festival, and there they were, and then he said, so, we're going to have a play. Right? Play? I didn't know we're going to have a play. Who's going to do it? Everybody, yes. Just take your costume and play your part. Yeah? We may think like, wow, that's wild, right? But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did a similar thing. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on the appearance day of great personalities, used to spontaneously perform a pastime, spontaneously perform a drama without any rehearsal, and all the devotees were just playing along. So it has some precedent. Because the spirit was that one simply becomes that personality. Just like when we were kids, you know, you are the witch and he's like this and that. Right? In the same way, you are Hanuman and you are, Ravana, etc. You can go play all the parts. Why not? It can be done like that. And it is a part, part of a process of remembering the Supreme Lord. Yes. So this is nice, because anything to absorb in the remembrance of the Supreme Lord's activities is nice. That is the business of the devotees. We are not supposed to be professional performers like that. We're simply meant to be absorbed. That is our business. So we are playing different parts in this world, and if we see it like that, if we see our life like that, then we don't take it so serious. If we just think our life is like a movie and it happens to be so that I'm in this one, that's all. Somehow or other I walked into this movie, and so many movies going on and I happen to be in this one, that's all. And all these things that are happening, it's just part of the script, that's all. So, you know, the script, whatever it may bring, it's not important. While we are here, let's use it for doing some service for Krishna. And as much as we can do that, that's auspicious. That's auspicious. So as devotees, we are not satisfied with only being situated in an auspicious position as being eternal spirit soul, being the eternal servant of Krishna. We must be active and we must use every situation for some service. So in order to make it auspicious, we have to do something every moment. Prabhupada said like that. He said that he was in America and he said, you are American. He said, but it's not enough to just be American. He said, in order to be American, he said, you have to do something American, right? Something American. Then you are American. Well, we know what Americans do. Or if you want to be Swiss, you know, you have to do something Swiss to be Swiss, right? If in Zurich, if the temple wouldn't look clean, right? Everyone would just like feel, my God, you know? I mean, where are we, right? This is not possible. If you are in Brazil, it doesn't matter so much, you know. It's like, a little bit you can tolerate, you know, it's okay. Some cleanliness is there, of course, I'm not criticizing, I'm saying, but a little bit you can tolerate. At least when I was in Sao Paulo, a big rat came running into the temple room, right? Maybe he came for darshan, right? And some of the devotees were taking it like that, you know. He must be a devotee rat, you know. Master, you never know. You never know. He could have been devotee, yeah. But if in Zurich temple, right, a rat would run into the temple room, I don't know what would happen, but the devotees would call the fire brigade or something. Would be a big thing for sure. Yeah. It's like such things don't happen. Swiss rats, they don't enter into houses. They don't do that. They're well trained. So in this way, if one wants to, it's not enough to just say Swiss. With it immediately comes a certain type of behavior, a certain type of quality, etc. So Prabhupada said, it's not enough to be American, you have to do something American. It's not enough to be devotee. You have to do some devotional service. You have to do something devotional. Otherwise, not enough to just say, I'm a devotee. No, that's not it. So this is the point, is that we have to do something active in the service of Krishna every moment. Not let a moment go by. Avyakta kalatvam. This is one of the qualities of the devotee who is totally absorbed in deep emotional devotional service in bhav. One of the qualities of bhav is avyakta kalatvam. He uses every moment for devotional service. So that is the art, not to waste a second in the day nor in the night. Years ago I was reading Satsarup Maharaj's Japa Reform notebook, and Maharaj in that book wrote that one should always try to chant the holy name, right? Not stop at 16 rounds, but you know, whenever the opportunity is there, that one should try and chant. And he said, even when we wake up in the middle of the night, we might take the opportunity to put in an extra Maha Mantra. And I was thinking, wow, that's pretty far out. Now I'm thinking, well, why not? May as well try. Hare Krishna. Why not? The associates of Lord Chaitanya certainly are in that spirit by chanting in between bites, right? While taking prasadam, in between bites, chanting the holy name. So it's inconceivable. There is no limit as to how much we are supposed to be chanting. It really doesn't stop at 16 rounds. The goal of this movement is not to chant 16 rounds, to come to that level. That's not the aim. The aim is Kirtanya Sadahari, to always chant the holy name. So that's like quite something. So it's not 16 rounds, not 32 rounds, not 64 rounds, not even 300,000 names. No, not even that. To always chant. If you can chant 300,001, then that's to be done. So it is inconceivable. Kirtanya Sadahari, to always chant. Which is that very same point. To always take advantage of every moment to do some devotional service. But because our mind may be restless, because we may be affected by the material energy as it is, alright, Srila Prabhupada arranged it that then you can engage in devotional service according to your material conditioning. No problem. Yes. And one can in this way use even the material conditioning in the service of Krishna. So that is the trick in conquering the material energy. Fight fire with fire. Just as when you have a big forest fire, sometimes what they do is they take a piece of forest and they clear one strip next to it. They take everything and then they burn, and on the other side they also clear a strip and then they burn that strip of forest down. Just burn that down. But it's a contained fire. It's not so big, and whatever gets burned down there, it forms then a big strip of ashes, and then the big fire, which will be coming with like 200 kilometers an hour, whoosh, comes there, and the distance is big, so it may stop there. That's the hope. Right? Although sometimes fires also jump. I was in Australia the end of the year, and there were all these bushfires going on, big, big bushfires. And in Canberra, there was, well, these fires, they have They get very hot and big fires, and it says that some trees explode. They have eucalyptus trees and they're full of oil and they explode. So within the fires, big explosions. And sometimes these fire balls just shoot out of the fire, huge balls of fire, and they get taken up in the wind and then they land somewhere else and then whew, a new fire. So one of such fireballs was flying through the sky and it landed right in the middle of Canberra in one street and it burned down 100 houses, something like that. But in the middle of that street, there was one house, it was untouched. Even the garden was still green and there were still flowers in the garden, right? And all the rest of the street was black, totally black. Yeah. So it's like, it made the newspapers. Only a devotee can appreciate such a thing. And for us, it's easy because we read the very same thing in the descriptions of Vasudev speaking to Kamsa. And Vasudev is saying to Kamsa, why are you trying to kill your sister at the auspicious occasion of her marriage? He said, along with birth, death is also born. It is inevitable and it is all going on by divine arrangement. He said, sometimes destiny is such that when one's time is up, then one is destined to die. And at the other time, he said, sometimes in a forest fire, the fire jumps over one tree and one tree remains unburned, although the whole forest is black. So it is explained by Vasudeva. So we saw the same phenomena in Canberra with that house. And everyone was amazed. But this is the nature, different karma. So everything is going on by the divine arrangement of the Supreme Lord. So we're being reminded of that again and again and again. So that we learn to become aloof, that we learn to develop a mood of being unaffected, nirapeksha, unaffected by the material energy. Let me just stay peaceful, detached, whatever happens, happens. But at the same time, we are using every opportunity for Krishna. So obviously, it would be interesting that for the devotees to go and visit the people who live in that one house, knock on that door and say, hi, we're handing out these books today. They come in full sets only, because they might be interested at this point in time. And we might even remind them and show them that portion in there of Vasudev and how they fire jumped over the tree. Say, look, that might sell the Srimad Bhagavatam. So in this way, we are looking at every situation in terms of auspiciousness and inauspiciousness, at what is auspicious for the service of Krishna. But for ourselves, we see, we are aloof of this material world. That is the transcendental path. Okay. Any question? Any comments? Yes. Okay. Yeah. So, tanama rupa charitadi. It is said that there is the name, the form, and the qualities and the pastimes, right, of the Lord. So, in that sequence, actually, it is mentioned. Name, form, qualities, and pastimes. So we understand something about the pastimes of the Lord, but jumping to the pastimes exclusively is premature. We must first take to the name, for the reasons as we explained last night, Chetu Darpana Marjanam, or Darpana Marjanam, same mistake every time, to purify the heart. Otherwise, if we prematurely take to exclusive remembrance of the pastimes, we may not understand them properly. Then, we must thoroughly understand the form of the Lord. We must understand that the Lord is a person, and we must understand that he's none different from his name. That we must thoroughly understand, and therefore we must understand. And when we chant the name, that as it's said in the Adi Purana, that we are associating with the Lord. The qualities of the Lord will manifest. We will begin to understand more and more how the Lord is a person, that is the form of the Lord. And then when he's a person, we begin to understand his qualities. We begin to understand that he has particular characteristics. And finally, his lila will also manifest. So it is said that the holy name will ultimately, automatically reveal all these stages within the heart of the devotee. That is true. But on the other hand, one can also, in other processes of devotional service, come to that stage. All the ninefold processes of devotional service are revealing Krishna in all these features. And by hearing, we are actually helping our chanting. Right. Hearing is sravanam kirtanam. By hearing, we get the inspiration for a chanting. This is very important. Therefore, we may sometimes engage in hearing, sometimes engaging in chanting. And these two are very important. By doing any of the other ninefold types of devotional service, we again purify ourselves further, which will give new meaning to our chanting. So in this way, all these processes, these nine processes, are interrelated, and one enhances the other. Therefore, certainly by hearing, we can, and hearing about the qualities of Krishna, hearing about the pastimes of Krishna, we can become more enthused, and therefore we can come closer to that stage of devotional service where we become the Antaranga Bhakta. An Antaranga Bhakta is a devotee who is aware of his eternal spiritual identity. It is said when Raghunath Das Goswami, or before he was Goswami, when Raghunath Das came and met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put him under the care of Swarup Damodar. And it is said at that time, Swarup Damodar was guiding Raghunath Das in Antaranga Seva. Antaranga Seva means he was guiding him in according to his eternal spiritual identity. So that's not an artificial process. It meant that Raghunath Das was on that platform of, by the blessings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, understanding his eternal identity. Not that he was imagining it. So in the same way, we are not imagining the lilas of the Lord, that we can see them, and we don't start speculating about them. But we hear about them from revealed scriptures, and for the rest, we wait till things are revealed. But the most intimate pastimes of the Lord in his dealings with the gopis, it says they are meant for liberated souls. They are meant for the exclusive meditation of those who are free from lust. So if one is not free from lust, one may sometimes understand a little bit about these pastimes, just to understand the nature of Krishna's dealings. But it is not meant to become one's exclusive meditation. That is only for those who are liberated souls, free from the influence of lust. Such is the nature of remembering the pastimes of the Lord. Any other question?
Prabhupada makes it very easy because he gave these pastimes in the Krishna book. There are pastimes described in the Nectar of Devotion and so forth. Then even Chaitanya Charitamrita. But beyond that, there are also books which are very intimate, which describe very intimate dealings between Radha and Krishna in their amorous pastimes. Such kind of pastimes are not recommended to be read. Some of the books that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was reading, and that are also bona fide literatures, are not recommended for the neophytes. For example, Bilba Mangala Thakur wrote the Krishna Karnamrita. So it was said that book is meant in the beginning of the book. Bilba Mangala Thakur writes that this is a book for the liberated souls, right? So in particular. So it is not recommended for the conditioned souls. In the same way, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta once asked Bhaktivinoda Thakur whether he could print the Govinda Lilamrita, and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, yes, one copy for yourself. Right. So, like that, yeah. There are some recommendations about a few literatures. It is the very intimate Rasa Shastra which is meant for liberated souls. For those few. So when you get there, you know, then they are for the devotee. They're for us, for the day that it will happen to us. When you chant the holy name and tears shoot from the eyes in ecstasy, roll on the ground, and all that. When devotees regularly crash on the ground with love of God, all that. Then we're going to have classes on these scriptures. Why not? Yeah. So we should see if we look at Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he was quite reserved about these matters. Right? And if we look at Srila Prabhupada, he was quite reserved at these matters. Now, of course, we have such a broad variety of devotees. Before, in Prabhupada's time, there was all the devotees were young devotees. They were all like of the same generation, pretty much. And therefore, the standard was the same for all, very clear and very simple. But when you have a movement of a lot of diversity, and a lot of, and some are quite senior, some are less senior, then some may think, well, you know, a bit of that is okay. Others may think, then you get different standards and different ideas. So now we have that, different standards and different points of view. And there is no doubt that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta once called his disciples and spoke. He said, today we will speak about this Ras Lila. He said, although we are not qualified because we are still under the influence of lust, still we will speak some of these things because we must have some idea about the nature of spiritual reality. But it doesn't mean that that he recommended that it become exclusive meditation, then we're going too far. To sometimes have a look and to say, well, what is all this? That's one thing. But otherwise, we need these kind of verses, like we're having today, you know, because this is the reality. You know, sometimes we think, how's it going? Yes, very nice. Other times we're thinking, it's a real struggle. So as long as we're thinking, well, it's going really nice, or it's a real struggle. Well, then we are still considering material circumstances auspicious or inauspicious. Then we need these verses from Bhagavatam. And not so much the Rasa-lila. It is difficult because our nature is to be curious, etc. But it's the old story, you know, about the disciple of the wizard, you know, who went to look in the old magic book and started to play with it, and you know, remember that he had to clean the staircase, and he got
the water. The broom did it automatically. The water came automatically, but it didn't stop. He couldn't turn it off. In the same way, Abhimanyu went into the vyuha, into the army, by some mystic arrangement, but he didn't know how to get out. So, in this, so we must understand that. Yes, a certain amount of maturity is required. We are meant to be mature as devotees and have some sort of humility, some sort of mental control, and say, look, you know, I have my level of what I can, of what is suitable for me and what is not suitable for me. But again, after one has read Srimad Bhagavatam, etc., and after one's been a devotee for some time, after one knows the philosophy, then it's not that one cannot read a little bit of a book which is not directly coming from Srila Prabhupada, but a translation from one of the Goswami literatures about some rasa-lila activity, some intimate dealings. That is possible. But it is not meant to become like from now I'm going to get into this. This is going to be my regular meditation. No, that's premature. That's the point. And that much one should. We have to choose anyway, isn't it? I mean, you know, you have to choose. What am I going to read? Srimad Bhagavatam or Chaitanya Charitamrita or Nectar of Devotion? Are you going to be able to read everything all at the same time? I can't. I have to make a choice. I mean, so, Vyasadeva divided the Vedic literatures because no one was able to study it all. So, we should study Prabhupada's books. And then sometimes read a little bit of something else. And if we do that, that's the most blessed path for us. Because there we get all that's required. And Prabhupada also mentions that further in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Actually, this is the last verse of chapter 33 of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. This verse, Vikriditam Vrajavadubir, is making the point that by hearing the descriptions of the pastimes of the gopis, one becomes purified from the ridrogam, or the disease in the heart, which is sex desire. So that is true. But then, unfortunately, Srila Prabhupada didn't translate the Srimad Bhagavatam up to the 33rd chapter. So he never gave a purport to that verse. But in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada did give a purport to that verse, Vikriditam Vrajavadubir. And there he says that he warns against unqualified people engaging in dwelling on such pastimes. And he says that when a materialistic person hears, he may have material association. And he gives that example of one man who knew, who whenever he heard the name Radha was remembering the wife of the barber, right? So in the same way, we may remember some of our own Rasa-lila pastimes from before we were brahmacharis, right, when we are hearing such descriptions. And in that case, you know, we may start dwelling again on these things. That is one risk. The other thing is that once there was a critic on a play, one lady in America, she's very famous, named Dorothy Parker, famous critic on theater. So she wrote, like, she said that this theater performance was a wonderful demonstration of all the emotions from A to B. That was it, you know? From A to B, right? So, sharp, devastating. It's definitely good. Anyway, this sums it up, that we may appreciate, we may actually hear and read the intimate Ras Lila pastimes, and we may appreciate how Radha and Krishna would be embracing and not be dressed, etc., and all that. And we may find all the descriptions in great detail, everything. How do? So we may appreciate, but only from A to B. Right? Whatever appreciation we have for such pastimes will be from A to B, because we do not have the capacity for A to Z. So even if we are not coming so much under the influence of lusty desires just by reading these pastimes, and even if we don't associate with our previous activities, and we go on reading and we remember philosophically again and again, no, this is transcendental, this is the Supreme Lord, this is His devotee, these dealings are actually devotional service. Srimati Radharani is offering her body for the pleasure of Krishna. All that is correct. But still, we cannot fully appreciate these things, because our present capacity in terms of spiritual emotions is only from A to B, and we're not ready for A to Z. So therefore, in the end, if we are just engaged with this Rasa-lila, we will not be satisfied, because we cannot get the full scope. And therefore, in due course of time, we will again come down to the material platform and look for material satisfaction. It is very difficult to appreciate the Rasa-lila pastimes of the Lord in a spirit of service instead of in an enjoying spirit. So as long as we want to slightly enjoy the pastimes of the Lord, as long as we are a bit of an enjoyer in observing these pastimes, we're only feeding the enjoying spirit, and it will come out again, and that enjoying spirit will manifest itself in some material realm. Right? Therefore, it is meant to be some restriction, some self-constraint is recommended for that reason. Okay, enough is enough. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.